Dr. Pinsky with the female IME on Naquanna, N-A-Q-U-A-N-N-A, Jernigan, J-O-U-R-N-I-G-A-N. As you know, I previously evaluated Ms. Jernigan as described in the reports listed above. Period. She is now a 50-year-old woman who, again, simply described she had a work injury, resulting in permanent damage to her hands and arms. Period. She did undergo carpal tunnel release on both wrists and then tendon transfer in 2021 for the right thumb. Apparently she is no longer receiving any active treatment. Apparently she denies any previous injuries or problems to the involved areas. Apparently she states in 2021 she broke and fractured her left hand, but did not describe what treatment she received. Apparently paragraph. I was already in receipt of most of the records you once again provided. Period, I will summarize those which were not readily available before using your cover letter. These show she received an order approving settlement on 5/14/14. For 15% permanent partial disability, or approximating 17.5% of each hand, for a total of $18,900. Apparently, she has now reopened her claim and alleged her hands have become worse and requested further treatment. Period. The paragraph I will now mark what's necessary from your cover letter and supplement it with a few more remarks from other records. New paragraph, for example, she underwent an evaluation with Dr. Weiss on 8/28/12. Period. She had lumbar sacral spine x-rays done on 10/2/17 that showed straightening of the lumbar lordotic curve. Period. She was also seen by Dr. K, K-A-Y-E, on 10/17/17, which is later than my previously available records. Period. He noted she had neck and right arm pain as well as back and right leg pain that had been present for several years. Because she was status post C4-5, anterior cervical discectomy and fusion in 2013 at Robert Wood Johnson. Period. Since that time, she continues to have neck and right arm pain, as well as difficulty with fine motor skills and issues with her balance. Period. She also has associated numbness and tingling. Period. He performed an evaluation, including flexion extension x-rays of the cervical and lumbar spine to be inserted as marked. Period. He diagnosed cervicalgia and radiculopathy of the cervical spine, for which he ordered a cervical spine MRI. Period. She returned to him on 11/14/17 when he noted the results from the MRI of 10/30/17 to be inserted here as marked. Period. We do not have that actual report. Period. He recommended non-operative treatment with physical therapy and anti-inflammatories, but he also recommended she see a neurologist for EMG evaluation. Apparently she did undergo another EMG on 12/19/17 by Dr. Roman. Period. It revealed complex repetitive discharges on needle electromyography and the right deltoid parentheses C5-6 myotome close parentheses, which are nonspecific and often found in chronic chronic conditions. Period. Dr. Roman reviewed these results with her on 12/5/17. I was concerned about thoracic outlet syndrome. Brady also performed cortisone injections of the shoulder, knee, and right hip. The EMP results were actually discussed on 12-19-17. Paragraph on 123-18, she was seen by Dr. K, K-A-Y-E, relative to her lumbar spine. She did not convey any specific precipitating event or repetitive activity. She was also being seen for a right thumb spica splint and edema glove. They were awaiting the MRI of her thumb and blood work results for possible gout. Dr. K diagnosed lumbar radiculopathy and ordered a lumbar MRI. This was done on 2-2-18 to be inserted. New paragraph on 3-3-18, she had an MRI of the brachial plexus to be inserted. On 6-8-18, she was seen at Capital Health Primary Care with diagnoses of low back pain, comma, hypertensive disorder, comma, hypothyroidism. She was referred to various laboratory studies and remained on several medications. On 6-27-18, she underwent x-rays of the left knee at MedExpress for no known injury. The symptoms were present for 3 days. X-rays showed significant joint space narrowing and osteoarthritis. She was given that diagnosis and started on Mobic. She had a left knee MRI on 9-7-18 to be inserted. This was at the referral of another Rothman orthopedist named Dr. Gomez. He reviewed these results with her on 9-19-18. And diagnosed pigmented villonodular synovitis of the left knee, along with a sprain of the medial collateral ligament of the left knee. She had a corticosteroid injection 3 weeks ago. She related her primary care physician did blood work and confirmed that she in fact had gout, so was placed on allopurinol. That and the injection were helping. He also referenced from the fall she may have had a mild grade 1 MCL sprain that actually resolved within 6 to 12 weeks from the injury. She was already getting better. Paragraph 1-3-19, she was seen by Dr. Fletcher at Rothman for both thumbs. She reported the discomfort there had been present for 7 months, but denied trauma. She had no triggering or locking, but did have a history of bilateral carpal tunnel release procedures in 2009, but continued to have intermittent numbness in the hands. She had been using a brace for many years, but it actually got broken. He referred her for x-rays of both wrists and diagnosed unilateral primary osteoarthritis of the left and right first carpometacarpal joints, as well as deep vein tenous synovitis. They discussed treatment options and she elected to pursue custom braces at that time. At follow-up, on 2/14/19, she related this seemed to help. Pretty did perform a corticosteroid injection to the right sum basal joint. Period. On 3/28/19, he discussed surgical options for her primary osteoarthritis of the first palmar carpal joint of the right hand. Period. In paragraph, the petitioner saw Dr. Gomez again on 4/18/19 for a recurrence of left knee pain. Period. She accepted another corticosteroid injection to the left knee. Period. She saw Dr. Fletcher again for her thumbs on 4/30/19. Period. At that juncture, they agreed to pursue surgical intervention. Period. I am not in receipt of the operative report, but his follow-up visit of 5/13/19 references she was 2 weeks after a right thumb basal joint arthroplasty, trapezium excision, and FCR tendon transfer. But there were no signs of infections, and sutures had been removed. Period. He placed her in a short arm cast and repadded her pin site. Period. She then returned on 6/10/19 without significant pain, fever, or chills. Period. The cast was removed, and I removed two Kirschner KIRSCHNER wires. Period. He placed her on a spica splint and was to begin home therapy and then formal hand therapy. Period. On 7/22/19, he wrote she was making excellent progress. Period. He cleared her to return to normal activities. Period. Ms. Jernigan underwent a lumbar epidural injection on 7/17/20 by Dr. Surrey, S-U-R-R-E-Y. Period. This was administered and she returned on 8/6/20 with about 95% reduction of pain relief within a few days. Period. Her leg pain is significantly improved, but she continues to have axial back pain. Period. They were going to proceed with a left-sided L5-S1 facet-based injection. Period. This was completed on 8/12/20. Period. She had undergone another lumbar MRI on 1/10/20 compared to a pelvic ultrasound of 8/15/19. Period. Insert those results here. Period. She also underwent lumbar spine x-rays that day to insert here. Period. Physical exam. Extremities upper inspection revealed a 1.5-inch healed dorsal scar overlying the first metacarpal on the right. But there were also healed bilateral open volar wrist scars. Period. There was no swelling, atrophy, or effusions. Period. Normal through right thumb. MCP flexion was to 35 degrees, internal phalangeal flexion to 70 degrees, and palmar Abduction with the CP joint to 45/70 degrees. Paired her opposition may have been zero. Paired motion was other, scratch that, extension at the interpolyngeal joint was 0/20. Paired motion of the remaining fingers, wrists, hands, elbows, and shoulders was full on all planes without crepitus, tenderness, triggering, or locking. Paired right index finger flexion elicited pain radiating up the wrist and forearm. Period. She had breakaway weakness in bilateral hand grasp and pinch grip, but strength was otherwise 5/5. Period. She was tender to palpation, overlying the site of her scar on the right thumb, but nowhere else. Hands, wrists, elbows. She had a positive Fallon's maneuver on the right, which was negative on the left. Spine, cervical. Active extension was 50 degrees, comma, bilateral side bending 35 degrees, comma, rotation right 70 degrees and left to 60 degrees, but flexion was full to 50 degrees. Cervical spine inspection revealed a healed scar that she attributed to thyroid surgery. Period. New paragraph. Naquana Jernigan alleges to have sustained occupational injuries to her hands, as noted in my prior reports. That will not be repeated in their entirety here. Period. She has since gone on for further treatment, not only involving her hands, but other body areas that are anatomically distant from them. Period. And underline this, I will mark the notes from the cover letter that I don't think we addressed in the actual reports. She eventually underwent surgery on the right thumb. Period. She has decreased range of motion about the right thumb. Period. Finkelstein's maneuver was positive on the right. Period. There is variable strength by manual muscle testing. Period. She had decreased range of motion about the cervical spine on an active basis. Period. New paragraph. My opinions regarding permanency and causation will be inserted as marked from a prior report. And that is the end.